ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वाम् अनुसन्ततामि भगवद्गीते भगवद्वैषिणी। यस्सर्वत्राणभिस्नेहः तत्तत्प्राप्यशुभाशुभम् नाभिनन्दति न द्वैष्टि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता। यः सर्वत्र अनभिस्नेहः तत् तत् प्राप्य शुभाशुभम् शुभ अशुभम् तत् तत् प्राप्य शुभ अशुभम् न अभिनन्दति न द्वैष्टि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता। Remember this section from verse 54, I think it is, verse 52. From 54, are dealing with the nature of the sthita prajna, the one who has jnana nishtha, the one who is rooted in this knowledge. And so it all came about by Arjuna asking the Krishna the question, how is a sthita prajna described? Ka bhasha, what is the description of a sthita prajna? Sthita prajna means one whose knowledge is firm. Sthita means actually just simply, you say prajna, nya means their knowledge, pra, their clear knowledge. Their knowledge is clear. And that clear knowledge, sthita, remains. It doesn't waver, it doesn't go away. So sthita comes from the root sta, to stay. So the prajna, their knowledge, their understanding, sthita, it's firm. It doesn't vary, it doesn't waver. So that's what we call jnana nishtha, a person who's rooted in their knowledge. So sthita prajna is jnana nishtha. So Arjuna's question was, can you describe, what is the description of somebody like this, who's a sthita prajna, samadhistasya, for somebody whose buddhi, whose mind, is has a state of equipoise, is rooted in the self, is rooted in the well-being of the self. Then he says, how does such a person speak? How do they sit? How do they talk? How do they walk? How do they do all of these things? So, in a way, this question sounds silly, but it's not silly because it's actually what we all want to know. It's like, if a person has self-knowledge, how do you know that? What would it mean? What are the lakshanas? What is the description? What does it mean for a person to have self-knowledge? How can you tell? Like, if I have self-knowledge, if I were to have self, so you can imagine Arjuna saying, if I were to have self-knowledge, how would I be behaving? How would I be acting in the world? How would I be speaking? How would I be behaving with others? How would I be moving about? What would that be? And why this is important, actually, is because in terms of values or the way that a person expresses themselves in the world, what is natural for a wise person, what is just spontaneous for a wise person who's rooted in their knowledge, actually becomes a sadhana for the seeker. So you emulate. Swamiji will often joke, say, you fake it till you make it. It's actually very good in terms of cognitive psychology. If you don't like somebody, you pretend like you do. You act like you do. You know? So that you can break, not to be a phony. It's not about being a phony. It's about breaking through you know, habits in ourselves that actually cause us a great deal of pain. And so by understanding these values, the values that are natural to a wise person, like ahimsa or lack of, the not having a need to present yourself as other than what you are, or not having a need to extol your good qualities so that other people will. It's all insecurity. Now, if you have a need to extol your greatness, so I'm so good at this or so good at that, do you love me more now? Because I have these qualities. That's what it's, you know, if we extol ourselves, hoping that that will make somebody love us, or we pretend to be better than what we are so that somebody will love us, or we do this so that somebody will love us, or we do that so somebody will. It's all about love, right? And so all of these are they're misguided pursuits because they don't work. They don't work. That's why Swamiji's values is so good. You know, so helpful to understand why these values are meaningful, because they do work. They actually, if we understand them properly, they actually give us the relative shanti that is actually a natural expression of one who gains knowledge. So really, Arjuna's question is a very human question. You know, how would I be? How should I be? How will I be able to judge myself as I gain nishtha in this knowledge? And so, the Lord actually understanding what's behind Arjuna's question proceeds to answer it in depth. So we've seen a couple of verses on that. So now in this verse, he's talking, remember now, he's talking about the sthitapragna. So he says, he's talking about the one who is rooted in this knowledge. And then for us, it's always important to remember that what is natural for somebody who's rooted in the knowledge is a sadhana for us until we are. So, the one who, yaha, sarvatra, everywhere. When you take the word sarva, it means every or all. When you put the tra affix on it, sarvatra, becomes an indeclinable. It means in all situations, everywhere, at all times. Tra, it has a locative sense. And at all times, everywhere. So in the sense of location, it gives sarva the sense of location. So everywhere, at all times. More at everywhere, in all situations. Anabhisnehaha, the one who has no great attachment. Un negates. Abhisneha is a great attachment. Great attachment means I need you to be this way or this situation to be in this way in order for me to be happy. And so I'm committed to, I need something to be in a particular way for my own well-being. That's what we call attachment. Now you can have tremendous love or friendship or care for people and for situations, and so there's a sneha there. Sneha means attachment, but it's not an over-attachment. The sneha that becomes an over-attachment, because it's not about I have no attachments means I don't have any care for others, or I don't have any preferences or any care or any love. It's not that. It's that I have love and care and friendship, but I don't require that love, that friendship for me to be happy. I don't require my child to be a particular way in order for me to be happy. In other words, I'm able to give space. The great thing about, I think, somebody who's free is their ability to give space. It means, say for instance, children are the worst. most difficult. It was the most difficult, more difficult than a mate, because there's the organic kind of blood relationship is there, so it's so profound. So say for instance, your child is behaving in a way that you would prefer they didn't. I don't know that there's any, that I don't know when there's an exception. Okay. Because then now the child is preferring, is behaving in a way that you would prefer they didn't. So, they're your child. There's nothing at all to say that you wouldn't give guidance and try to help, or give guidance and try to help. But if your whole well-being is tied up in the behavior of your child, then that's avismriya. The love and the care, the wanting to help, is human and natural. Whether that's toward a friend, toward a student, toward a child, toward the world, that wanting to help and wish a person well, that's natural. But the abhisneya that becomes problematic is where, if the person isn't as we want them to be, if the situation is not as we want them to be, I am miserable. That's the abhisneya. So now imagine that there is never a situation where that is the case. That's the sarvatra, everywhere in all situations. That type of abhisneya is not there. And so that means my wholeness is with me. And my wholeness being with me, I then am free to allow the other person to be as they are. The other situation, the situation to be as it is. And allowing the situation to be as it is, the person to be as that they are, then I'm also free to help. So that Swamiji has a very nice bhasha. If you read his bhasha in the Gita Home Study on this, it's really beautiful. So he says, sarvatra anabhisneha, the one who doesn't have this excessive attachment in anywhere, then tat tat prapya shubha ashubham. Shubha means those events that are auspicious, that are pleasurable, that bring about happiness and well-being. That's shubha. Ashubham are the inauspicious events that are hard, that are painful, that are not conducive to happiness. So in the world is providing these for us all the time, shubha and ashubha, pleasure, pains, events that cause pleasure or happiness, events that are not meant to do that. So shubha, ashubha. Tat tat prapya. You see with this pronoun tat is repeated, tat tat prapya, means having gained, prapya is indefinable past participle, having gained this or that or this or that or this or that. When they repeat a word or a preposition, it means having attained this or that or this or that in variety of circumstances, having achieved shubha and ashubha in a variety of situations, so whatever they may be, na abhinandati, the one who does not become elated when the shubham occurs, nor nadveshti, does not feel hatred. Dveshti means is a strong word. Doesn't mean dislike, really, it means hatred. So does not feel hatred or rage or anger, you know, dveshti, when the ashubha occurs. So, let me finish this and then I'll go back to that. Tasya prajna pratitishtita. Pratitishtita. The prajna, for him, his knowledge is something which is very well rooted. Okay. Who, for that person who doesn't rejoice, become overly elated, nor become full of hate, having received these variety of shubha and ashubha situations. What allows that to be possible, you know, and not just lip service, what allows that to be possible is when the ananda, or the sense of wholeness, the experiential reality of wholeness, not just an intellection, but the experiential reality of one's wholeness, the mind has discovered to be the nature of the self. When the mind has discovered the truth of that, that the nature of ananda, or wholeness or fullness, is one's own being, which is invariable. The invariable nature of one's own being is wholeness, is fullness. Then, that being the case, the mind is rooted there, and rooted there is experiencing shubha and ashubha. Because whether you're a jnani, or a samsari, or any human being, or creature for that matter, any creature in the world, the universe is going to be providing shubha and ashubha. positive and negative experiences. It doesn't stop for anybody. It's not as though you gain knowledge and then all of a sudden the universe decides from this point on, because you've reached the pinnacle. If it's you have gained, now you are enlightened, you now you've gained the self-knowledge, now you know the truth, the universe is going to shift for you and only provide you with pleasurable events. It's not true at all. The universe continues to be as it is. It continues to give you pleasure and pain. By give you pleasure and pain means give situations that are shubham. They're auspicious. They're meant to engender fullness and happiness and pleasure. And situations that are ashubha. They're not meant to create happiness at all. In fact, by their nature, they're painful. Okay, so now, if a person doesn't have the self, if the mind doesn't have the self, which is its locus, which is its home base for ananda, right? It's not just its home base. It's its home base for ananda. The nature of the self is wholeness and fullness. And so enjoying that, that constant, which is invariable, it's not something that's going to come and go on you. So enjoying that, the shubha and ashubha experiences are now experienced in light of that, not away from that, in the presence of that. And the mind's nishta is with that, right? The mind's commitment is with that. And so in fullness, I experience the ashubha. In fullness, I experience the shubha. See what I'm saying? The mind rooted in fullness experiences happiness, pleasure. The mind rooted in fullness experiences pain. The fullness is the same. The fullness is the invariable. When that's the case, a person doesn't necessarily rejoice in a situation that is meant to make me happy, because I'm already happy. You know, it's not sour grapes. You know, it's that I'm already happy, and so the happy situation is not making me happy, because I'm already happy. Though I can enjoy the pleasure of the situation. It's not something that brings about elation as a huge relief from a situation of unhappiness. And so that's why this abhinandati, there's no incredible elation, because I'm already complete. See the difference there? It's not as though I don't enjoy the happy situation. But there's not a huge contrast there for me to become elated, because I'm always already whole. Now, conversely, for the negative situation, or the person who is misbehaving and causing pain, I'm not feeling the extremes of hatred and rage, right? Because my mind is resting in the opposite of that. So, you know, Swamiji once this joke, if you have a big smile on your face, you know, so you're smiling, and now that smile, right, you try to say something mean. It doesn't work, because the system isn't going along with that. Yeah, it's very difficult to do. And it sounds ridiculous when you do it, you know. So say your inner disposition, the invariable self, is not hateful. And that is invariable. Then it's hard to engender the hatred toward a negative situation that is causing pain, when the core of your being is not in pain. See what I'm saying? You can be irritated, there can be things passing through, but to get dveshti, this hatred, or this rejoicing, these type of things aren't going to be there, because the mind is enjoying a stability. Right? Let me put it this way. The attachment, the abhisneha, of the mind is toward the ananda, is toward the ananda of the self. That's a nice way to put it. So when that attachment is there, if the mind's, well, in the Gita there'll be so many verses where the mind of the jnani is reveling in the self. It's one coming soon, maybe we'll do it today. It's reveling in the self. Reveling in the self, then the ups and downs of the world take on a different importance, a different value. So that's what this verse is about. So the one for whom who's not, for the one who's like this, for that person, their knowledge is very well rooted. And it works both ways. As the mind becomes well rooted, the reality of this anabhisneha becomes more and more and more. As the reality of the anabhisneha becomes more and more and more, one becomes more and more rooted in oneself. The two feed off of each other. Right? So as I recognize, as my mind gets used to myself, that as it gets habituated to enjoying the fullness of myself, the need for the external fullness dissipates. Right? And as the need for the external dissipates, my mind enjoys more shanti, which means it enjoys more of the fullness of myself. So the two kind of build up of each other. And one's knowledge, as this matures, one's knowledge becomes very firm to the point that the mind simply doesn't move from that position. Mm. See what I mean? Yourself is always the same anyway. But the mind gets more and more prefers, gains the preference of enjoying myself. It's a preference. Mm-hmm. Right? That preference increases and increases and increases. So that preference is predominant, you know, and when the preference is predominant, then these joys and sorrows in the world lose their ability to cause problems. Make sense? Okay, let's go on. He gives an example now. Continuing. Yadasam harate chayam. Yadasam harate chayam. Kurmo kurmongani vasarvashaha. Kurmongani vasarvashaha. Indriyan indriyatevyaha. Indriyan indriyatevyaha. Tasya prajna pratishthita. Tasya prajna pratishthita. So yada samharate cha ayam kurmaha angani eva sarvashaha indriyani indriyartevyaha tasya prajna pratishthita. Again, the ending there is the same. Tasya prajna pratishthita, his knowledge. Tasya for him, prajna or her. Tasya is masculine, so tasya for him. Prajna, the knowledge, feminine, prajna, pratishthita, is well rooted, is very firm, stable. Comes from again sta tish, to stand, to remain, to stay. So pra sta means like prasthana. It's well placed, it's firm, it's stable. So for that one, the knowledge is very stable. So he says, like this is his example. Yada, when, yada means when, samharate means to pull in, to contain, to control, to pull inward. Cha ayam, when ayam this person, cha and ayam this person, samharate pulls in. Kurmaha angani eva sarvashaha. He pulls in his indriyas, we'll see his sense organs, but like what? Like, eva, like a tortoise, kurmaha. Like a tortoise pulls in his limbs, sarvashaha, from all sides. Right? A tortoise, if a turtle is, you know, they're so slow moving that Bhagavan gave them a protective shell. And so, if they're moving along and something comes that creates any type of fear or disturbance, all of their limbs pull in immediately. They pull into the shell, right? So their tail, their four legs, and their head are now gone. There's only the shell. So just like a turtle, a kurma, can withdraw all of its limbs. Indriyani indriyarte bhyaha. This person withdraws samharate, the indriyas, all of the sense organs and organs of action from the sense objects. Right? Now, what's the idea? So when a person is able to do this, right? Like a turtle is able to do it. If something's wrong, if something the turtle doesn't like, something that's going on, something that concerns it, boom, it can pull away. The one who can do that with your sense organs, if you have the freedom to disengage your sense organs at will, and the sense organs from the artas, from the objects of sense, from the sense objects, do you have the freedom to at will disengage, or, as we'll see later, there's going to be many verses on this, or do the sense organs as though take you for a ride? Do they take you for a ride? Yeah. Or are you able to say no? Are you able to say, no, that's not good for me? No, that Ben and Jerry's is not good for me right now. Okay? Or no, getting involved in this situation, this is not what I want. You know? Responding in this way, no, this is not what I want. Do you have the freedom? Or do the sense organs, backed by the mind, it's really the mind being dragged by the sense organs. Is the mind able to dictate to the sense organs? Dictate your pursuits. Is your buddhi able to dictate your pursuits? Or is the buddhi dragged along by your desires? That's the idea. And so here the verse is like this. A person's knowledge has firmness in knowledge when they are into control of the indriyas. They can withdraw them at will. You're not in control when the indriyas are taken on a ride by the sense objects. You know, when you think about this verse, you can kind of expand it. Sometimes if I think of sense objects, I think my mind gets into the rut of actually thinking of a little object. But the truth of this verse is it's much bigger than that. It's not just a sense object like an ice cream cone or a car. It has to do with situations that you find yourself in all of the time throughout the day, where you want something to be different than it is. The reason that you want it to be other than what it is, when you realize, if you just stop and analyze it, I want this to be other than what it is, so that I can be happy. You know? Now, let me make a little refinement there. There's nothing wrong with seeing a situation that would be better if I made this change or that change. Like, oh, my house is dirty. I would like to clean it. In other words, we're doing this all of the time. We're changing situations, making them better, improving them, improving the way we are, relations. All the time we're doing that. But that's not what I'm talking about. That can be very objective. It's not a problem at all. The problem comes when I need this to be different so that I can be happy. And we tend to perseverate on it. Perseverate means my mind starts rotating around this one thing. I have to be like this, and what if this happens? And if this happens, I'm going to be miserable. You know, so can you project a little bit into the future? Oh, this could happen. I want this to happen, but this could happen, and if this happens, I'm going to be miserable. How am I going to handle that? So you perseverate around the negative thing that can occur or that is occurring, right? And now the thing is, when that's occurring, usually, does it sound okay for all of you in there? Okay, probably it's, I don't think that's good. Okay, good, thanks, Jacob. one more room. Okay, so now, this is the thing. Most of us don't have the freedom to withdraw from that engagement. See what I mean? Like if you're perseverating, something is not going the way that you want, or you're afraid of something not going the way that you want. You really want it to go one way and you're afraid it's not going to go that way. Or there's just, I mean, there's so many different models for this, different situations. But now the question is, can you say, no, that's okay, pull your senses back, pull your mind back and be free? Do you have the freedom to do that? You know? If you do, you have that nishtha. If you have the freedom to withdraw from that sort of an engagement, because the world is always pulling the mind out, or the situations are always pulling the mind out. Are you able to, and that's fine, it's not necessarily any problem at all. You're engaged in the world. But what if you're being pulled out in a way that's making you miserable? Right? You're making you miserable. Now it's not just an object of being engaged. Can you pull the mind back? Like a tortoise going, oops. When the tortoise says, oops, you know, it realizes problem here. Problem here. Oop. Can we do that? Can we say, oop, problem here? Pull the mind back and be free. Right? That's an incredible freedom to be able to do it. That's an incredible freedom. And that not being able to do it, that means the indriyas have been pulled out by the indriyarta, the objects of the sense, right? If the mind's pulled out. They say the indriyas, the mind is following the indriyas, the sense organs. Right? Your mind has been pulled out. I need it to be this way to be happy. And I perseverate around it. We do it all of the time on all different levels. And so now the thing is, as your knowledge becomes stronger, as that starts to take place, there's an oops, I don't want that. I don't want that relationship with the world or with a person or with a situation or with an object or with a future event. I don't want that situation because it actually makes me miserable. Right? And so after you become used to this misery, you know, the pattern of that misery that it causes, you know, then we start to work on our mind so that we learn how to pull it back. As the mind becomes more and more at home with the ananda of yourself, that contest, you know, the challenge of having the difficulty of pulling the mind back becomes less and less and less and less to be spontaneous. Right? But until it becomes spontaneous, we're working on our own vairagya, on our own understanding, on our own way to be in the world. Right? But once it becomes spontaneous, then just like a tortoise, when it's worried, you know, something's not quite right, it just comes home. So imagine the beauty of being able to call your sense organs home whenever you need to. I think that's a really nice way to say it. Whenever you need to, you can say, it's time to come home. And they obey. Yes, you're right. It's time to come home. And in that act of coming home, you're released from the pain of that type of engagement. And samsara, we call it. Right? So very nice, very simple verse.
Could you spell that word you used? I've never.
Which?
I can't even say it. It's an English word.
Oh, huh? Perseverate. Perseverate. Yeah, perseverate, it's a psychology word.
Oh.
It means you start thinking about something, you don't stop thinking about it. Yeah. Your mind is always going there, circling around it, thinking about this is going to happen and that's going to happen, circling around, around, around all the time,
yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah,
perseveration.
I know that.
Yeah.
Like obsessing.
Yeah, obsessing on something.
How do you spell it?
P-E-R-S-E-R. Perseverate. P-E-R-S-E-V-E-R-E-T-E, I think, for separate. We do use it in terms of obsessive compulsive disorder, but it's not, it's we all do it to a degree. If something's upsetting you, or you're worried about some event going in a particular way, or somebody doing something that you're worried about that they might do this or that, the mind just stays there painfully circling around, right?
Yeah.
The situation, the possibility of the problem, creating more and more pain, and you're not free to just pull your mind back. You know, but as you gain nishta, rootedness in your knowledge and have worked through things and whatnot, that ability to pull the mind back becomes spontaneous in nature. So it's a great, great freedom. You know. So. All right, why don't we stop here? Good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have satsang.
That's a really beautiful image.
Isn't it?
The turtle.
The turtle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you kind of reflect on it. You know what it means? Yeah. The truth of it. Yeah. The truth of that freedom. Yeah. Okay, let's just take it away. Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.